Can I punch you with the Word of God this morning? Amen. Be challenged with the Word of God. Let's not mess around. Time is too short. Let's jump into it. I've got too much to say. I'm going to try to do it within about 30 minutes, okay? So here's the challenge. So, bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's pray. Thank you for the Word of God. God, we need your Word these days. We need truth, Lord, that sets us free. I pray this would be truth that sets us free. Help us to hear it, believe it, receive it, and to put it into practice. For your glory, in Jesus' name, we pray. Everyone said, amen. Today, I want to talk to you about the power of having the right atmosphere in our life. I want to talk about creating and setting the right atmosphere in our life, in our homes, and in our church. We have what we have because either by design or by default, what we've allowed to come into our life, right? Ever notice that emotions create atmospheres. You walk into a room and there are some people who are sad, and immediately you can start to feel that sadness. Or you walk into a room and someone is angry or fearful, upset or hopelessness, and without a word being said, they project from their spirit into the atmosphere a negative feeling. We respond to that atmosphere. God is a God who also responds to atmosphere. And the way to attract God's blessing, God's favor into your life is by creating the right atmosphere. Atmosphere is essential for miracles. And for us as believers, we have a part to play in setting the right atmosphere or sphere. Today I'm talking about the power of right atmospheres. I'm going to give you six powerful atmospheres that we ourselves, humans, can create in our lives, our homes, and our churches that will draw an impact, will draw us by being impacted by God's presence. Are you ready? Number one, the atmosphere that is filled with praise, with thanksgiving, with the attitude of gratitude, of praise. Psalm 34, 1-4. The psalmist said, I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with his praise. I live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading the news. Together, let's get the word out. God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. In other verses, he freed me from all my fears. Listen, when you begin to praise, when you begin to magnify God, it's a key to your deliverance from all your fears. Amen? It's an understatement when I say that so many people today are bound by fear. Depression, oppression. In the Old Testament, there was a king. His name was Saul. And he suffered from depression and oppression. And he had times of darkness and oppression that would come upon him, and he would literally go out of his mind. And it kept happening over and over. And then one day, one of his attendants said to him, King Saul, it's a demonic spirit. It's an evil spirit that's been sent to oppress you. It's an evil spirit. So why don't you find a minstrel, a musician, an anointed musician, so that when that demon, that evil spirit shows up, he can play, and that spirit will leave, and you will feel better. And King Saul said, well, go out and find such a person. And then his attendant said, we know of such a man. His name is David, son of Jesse from Bethlehem, and he's a warrior, and he's brave. He's a fine man, and he's an anointed musician. And King Saul says, well, go bring him. Get him in. Go bring him. And it says in 1 Samuel, as David would play, and while the king was sitting on his throne in depression, in darkness, in sorrow, and in fear, and in hopelessness of life, it says, and it was so, whenever the evil spirit was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, then Saul would become refreshed and well. And the spirit, distressing spirit, what would happen? It would depart from him. And all David did was praise God. And it had created, you know what? It changed the atmosphere of that palace. You know what it created? A DFC. DFZ. You know what a DFZ is? A demon-free zone. Amen? This story tells us here, right today, that we can change the atmosphere of our own lives, of our homes, and of our church. We can change it. Even when circumstances, things aren't changing, things that we're believing for, things we're hoping and praying for, that you can control. You can set the atmosphere of your life, your home, and your church through this powerful weapon called praise. Listen, your emotions and your mood matters. Your worship and your praise make a difference. It can create an atmosphere for miracles. I believe that the Lord is always looking for a shout. You know, we should be loud. We should be louder about our faith, amen? And we need to be grateful people. Grateful people who remember what God did for us. The devil is always looking for a way to kill your praise. Don't let him kill it in your life. To go to the next level, we need to increase our praise. Our praise, even in our church, it needs to increase. We need to go into another level of praise. I say, take your mood to the next level to set the stage for a miracle, for a breakthrough, or a victory in your life. I believe that Sunday matters. Sunday is a special day. I said, something needs to stir on our hearts as we get closer, on Saturday, as we get closer to Sunday, because Sunday matters. What you do on Saturday should prepare you for what's coming on Sunday, because it's the Lord's day and requires preparation. Amen? Don't enter the house of God nonchalantly, haphazardly. Enter with anticipation, with faith and expectation. Amen? Because praise and thanksgiving draws and attracts the presence of God. It's the precursor for number two, the atmosphere that is filled with Holy Spirit presence. He makes all the difference in the world. An atmosphere where we are open to welcoming Holy Spirit presence. Why? Here's why. Because Holy Spirit is your energy and your power source. You cannot fight your challenges. You cannot fight your battles, your problems, and your addictions through your own strength and your flesh. It amounts to nothing. The very words of Jesus in John chapter 63, it is the Spirit who brings life. The flesh, what does it do? Conveys no benefit. It is of no account. That's the very words of Jesus to us today. Human strength can do nothing. Nothing. We need to have supernatural energy. And the supernatural energy source of the believer is the power of Holy Spirit. There is no other power. And that's why the Bible tells us to pray in an unknown tongue, in a heavenly language, to pray in the Spirit. Because when you pray in tongues, in a heavenly language, in the Spirit, God hears. God hears. Now, I don't know exactly who you are, where you are, and I know most of people, but maybe you're here and you want to dismiss what I say. You say, I don't really believe that stuff, but let me say this. Before you diss me, listen to what the Bible says. Because if you don't believe this, then you don't believe a part of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 2, the words of the Apostle Paul. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to people, but to God. For no one understands him or catches his meaning, but by the Spirit he speaks mysteries, secret truths, hidden things, right to God. When we speak in our heavenly language, we bypass our natural mind, our own opinion, and everybody else's opinion. Amen? The Apostle Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, than anyone else. But he also said, but when I do, I don't do it before an audience because it will confuse people. But in my prayer life, I will constantly pray in the language of the Holy Spirit, the unknown tongue. Amen? Paul's instruction in 1 Corinthians 14, 39 is do not forbid speaking in tongues. So many churches are today forbid speaking in tongues. But Paul says right here, it's a legitimate, bona fide gift that can be used by every believer to speak directly to God. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is also the ninefold gifts of the Holy Spirit, and one of them is the gift of tongues. This is different. This is not a private language. The gift of tongues is meant to be spoken to the congregation, to the people. But listen, every time there's a gift of tongues comes up, there has to be an interpretation. Otherwise, it's just gibberish and garbage. Nobody understands what you're saying. Every time there's a tongue comes up, either that person has to have that interpretation or somebody else needs to have that interpretation or it shouldn't be done. Amen? The gift of the heavenly language, the gift of tongues, is a gift of God so that we can strengthen ourselves and others. Amen? Listen, you know what religion says? Religion says you can't have that. You can't have that. Or you can't have that now. It's over. It's done with. In the New Testament portion of the Bible is a book called the Book of Acts. Why is it called the Book of Acts? Because it's called the Book of Acts because it's the story of the acts done by the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Amen? It's not the acts of the apostles. It's the acts of the Holy Spirit being done through the apostles. It's 28 chapters long. It's also referred to the book that's not yet fully completed. It's an unfinished book. Why is it called the unfinished book? Because of the acts of Holy Spirit are still being done through His church today through you and I. Amen? Amen. It was never meant to stop until the day we get to heaven. You know what? I believe what God sees. I believe what God sees, that when you pray in the Holy Spirit, when you pray in an unknown tongue, it edifies you, it comforts you, it encourages you, it builds you up. Amen? It's the believer's power source. Even in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11, 12 says, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Man, do we need rest. This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. This is the refreshing. Holy Spirit's power is refreshing. It's where you get your strength from, right? It helps us in our weakness and weaknesses. Romans 8, 26 to 28. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in us and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans, in other words, our tongues. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition, and he keeps us present before God. Keeps us right in the presence and in the will of God. Amen? Holy Spirit wants to pray through you, and he wants to pray the perfect will of God for your life. And if you pray, the Bible says, if you pray in the perfect will of God, guess what? God hears you. 1 John 5:14, I'll prove it to you, says, this is the confidence when we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, what happens? He hears us. And it says that if you know that he hears us, then we will have what we have asked. So the question is, how do you get all that? You know how you get it? By being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We sang that very song. Fill me. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. By being filled with Holy Spirit's power. That's how you get it. It's a gift from God. And all you have to do is ask for it. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' gift to you to empower you in this life. John the Baptist said in the Gospels, he, Jesus, he will come and he shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost. We call Holy Spirit. Ghost seems kind of a funny term, Old Testament term. It means something you can't really see, but it's in this realm, it's real. He's real. He will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Fire. Canada needs to be filled with Holy Spirit. There is too much hatred in this land. Too much darkness in the land. Too much division in this land. Holy Spirit makes you love everyone. There'll be no race issues. We'd all be for each other. We'd be encouraging other. Amen? We need power of Holy Spirit. We need it back in our lives. We need it back in our homes. We need it in our church, and we need it in our nation. Amen? Romans 5, verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Holy Spirit gives us a language that God understands perfectly. I'm wanting to take you back to a story. I used this example before, but it's such a good example. Do you remember the story that happened during World War II? The Japanese, of all people, right? they were the enemy, and they kept intercepting all the messages that would be sent between the Allied forces. And they kept intercepting, they kept deciphering, and they kept defeating the Allied forces. Until one day, the U.S. discovered a secret weapon. It was an unknown language that hardly anybody else had heard of. It was the language of the Navajo Reservation in the state of Arizona. And so they got these young Navajo soldiers who understood that language that had been passed down from generation to generation to generation, had never been translated into any other language. And so these young Navajo soldiers were called code talkers or wind walkers. And there was about 17 of them. And they talked in Navajo. And the enemy spies could not understand what they were saying. The language was so unique. Amen? So, here's the point. We can talk, we can communicate with God, and the enemy cannot understand. Amen? We need every advantage we can get over the devil. Amen? God is moving people. God is moving the people around. We've had so many new people even coming in. Young people, old people, you know, believers, many believers looking for a place to belong to. And I say some of you are new to your our church. But maybe what you're hearing from today is, it might be kind of blowing your mind. But listen, I want to tell you, we are not ashamed of Holy Spirit's presence and power. Because Holy Spirit, He's the one that changes your life. He's the one that's inside that literally transforms you. He makes the weak strong, the timid bold. He sets the bound free. Amen? And listen, Holy Spirit is also a fire. A fire. And He could cause you to have a passion and a love for God. Amen? No, and listen, you don't have to grow cold after you're saved. You don't have to be like the ordinary average believer. You can be on fire for God. The Bible tells us we are to pray in the Holy Spirit, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we're to be empowered by the Holy Spirit because He's your secret power source. And we should be praying in the Spirit every day. Why? Because praying in the Spirit connects you to your power source. Number three, atmosphere that is filled with the truth of God's Word. We need to be constantly taking in truth all the time. Why? Because what you take in determines what you will see. What you take in will determine what you will see. Now listen, if your soul is taking in the wrong stuff, the fearful stuff, the fearful news, the fake news, and often the mainstream news, if it's taken all in all that stuff, you will see a world of fear and hopelessness. It's all connected to what you are allowing into your mind constantly. Take you to the Old Testament, to the book of Habakkuk. He's a prophet of God. And he said in chapter 2, verse 11, the prophet said these words, I will stand my watch, and I will set myself on the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me. All right, you notice, he does not just say he will listen to what God says. It says he will watch to see what God will say. You know what that means? That means God's word is not just something you hear with your ears. It's something you must see with your spirit. Okay? Next PowerPoint. Vision. A vision from God is a picture. I said often it's a picture that you get from the words that God speaks to you. Amen? A vision is a picture of your future that's shaped by His promises, not by your past. Amen? Vision is seeing what God is saying to you. It's seeing yourself saved, redeemed, whole, holy, clean, free. It's seeing your marriage restored. It's seeing your children get saved. It's seeing you walking in the purposes of God, living it out. Amen? Amen? And let's see, once you get that picture in your heart, you know what you do? You guard it. You focus on it. And you hold on to it, and you never let it go. See, the principle here is this. You see, what you see is what you will get. You get what you see. If you see only defeat, then you will walk in defeat. But if you see what God sees, then you will walk in the direction of your calling. Amen? Today, God is inviting you to stop just hearing His word and start seeing His word. In other words, get a picture of who you are in Christ. Not one day in heaven, but right now. You are redeemed. You are righteous. You are fully accepted, not because of your performance, but because of your faith in Jesus Christ. It's all about. Not by works so that any man may boast, but by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You know the number one selling book in all of North America right now is? You know the number one book? I'm talking about secular bookstores. Most Christian bookstores don't even exist anymore. But there are other, all kinds of other bookstores that are secular. The number one book is the Bible. Who's buying it? Young people. Well, everybody. But especially young people. Youth, young people, all from all different backgrounds, even different religions are coming in. Why? Because there's so much darkness out there. There's so many lies. It's like my nephew said to us recently, I don't even know what's truth anymore. I listen to all these news and I listen to all these people. And they tell you they're telling you the truth, but it's all a bunch of lies. He says, so much darkness, I don't even know where to turn to anymore. And we said, you know where you turn to? To the one who said, I am the truth. I am the way, I'm the life. Amen? Turn to the Bible. Get into the Word of God. And so even our nephews, they're getting into the Bibles, into the Bible. They're reading their Bible because they want to know truth. So much darkness. It's so demonic out there. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, this is what the prophet said. He said to God, God, when you speak to me, I devour every word. Your word brings me such boundless joy. Amen. It's not enough to just know the word. You've got to get it inside you. What God is saying about your situation matters. It's what really matters. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter what any other person's opinions are. Amen? In the book of Judges, just looking at my time here, there's two powerful chapters. It's a story about Gideon, Judges chapter 6 and 7. And the Midianites have taken over all of Israel. And Gideon is hiding in a cave, a wine press. It's a place of isolation. It's a place of separation, of limitation, a place of fear. And God sends an angel to Gideon, and he says these words, you are a mighty man of valor. And Gideon, of course, he didn't feel like a mighty man. He felt like a wimp. But God says, you're not a wimp. You are a champion. You are a warrior. And what was God trying to do? What was God doing? God was putting into him his true identity, deprogramming him from all the lies and the deceptions, had believed about himself, the devil had spoken to him, other people had spoken to him, setting him free. And what God was doing was he wanted to get Gideon to see a new picture of himself. Listen, God doesn't call you because of what you were or what you even are right now. He calls you of what you're going to be for him, through him. Amen? Through Christ. You notice, you read the story. Angels begin to speak to Gideon. And immediately, he starts manifesting his inferiority. Inferiority. What does he say? Hey, you picked the wrong guy. I'm the smallest. I'm the weakest. I'm the poorest. I'm the least qualified. But God says, listen, Gideon, if you're ever going to be victorious, then first I have to get a new picture in your mind of who you are. Gideon, I want you to go to the enemy's camp. And I want you to listen to see how the enemy sees you. And then you will see a picture in your mind of how I see you. Judges 7, 13 and 14. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling his friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round barley loaf came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force, the tent was overturned and collapsed. In verse 14, his friend replied, he was probably shaking when he said this, this can be nothing. other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. Man, Gideon heard that. He said, come on, let's go for it. 300 men, divide them into three divisions, we're going for it. God does not see you as weak, defeated, poor, downtrodden, defeated. Doesn't see you that way, but God sees you as an overcomer. Amen? An overcomer. Champion. Head and not the tail. Top and not the bottom. Blessed. Highly favored by God. That's the way God sees you. And you got to get the right picture in you. You know what that means? It means you've got to get the right source, God's truth, constantly flowing into you. Amen? Number four. An atmosphere filled with faith and expectation. In other words, it's an atmosphere and an attitude of moving forward from the old into the new. So many Christians stuck. God is unstucking believers today. Often getting, moving them out from the old into the new. I would say maybe you're here new, maybe you're here today because God told you to be here, to move forward, because there's new here for you. Amen? And maybe that's why God puts you, or is going to put you in our church. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 19 is the story of Elisha. He's soon to become the prophet of all Israel, prophet to the nation. Elisha came from a farming community, very successful farming, very wealthy family, who owned 12 yoke of oxen and plows. That's like 24 oxen. That's like 12 John Deere tractors. They're wealthy. Elisha felt the new of God coming into his life. The calling of God was coming. And then Elisha did something unexpected, something radical. You know what he did? It's just like the early disciples of Jesus. He broke his old pulse. 1 Kings 19:21, he took his yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, he burned the plowing equipment, to cook the meat, gave it to the people, and they ate, and then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. The plow represented Elisha's security, his success. The plow was everything to him. But it says here, Elisha not only broke, he also burned those old plows. Old was what he was used to, the way it was always done. I say sometimes God moves us from the old. He's even moving some people from old denominations, where they come from. And for them, you know, it was good while they were there, right? And you can honestly say, I honor that place, the honor of that place, what that place did in my life, but I'm not staying there. I'm not staying in the old. I'm not going to live there for the rest of my life. I'm moving on. And I say, maybe this church, maybe you're at this church because God wants to take you where you've never been before, in the Holy Spirit. And you need to make up your mind to break the old plows. If you're tired of living in yesterday's experiences and yesterday's blessing, then you know, then you got to say to God, God, I'm ready for the new. I'm expecting new in my life. Live in an atmosphere of faith and expectation continually. Number five, let me finish real quick. An atmosphere that's filled with the right people. Proverbs 27, verse 6. I want to flip the last part of that to the front and then that first part to the end. It sounds better that way. The kisses of an enemy are profuse, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful of the, what is that saying? This means that these friends, they confront you. Amen? And that we need to get the right people in our life, people actually care enough to speak the truth to us. And let's admit it. And this is hard for me to admit, but we've all got issues, and I've got issues. Amen? Let's admit it, we've all have issues, amen? But here's the tendency. When we have issues, we tend to be attracted to each other's with the same issues. Amen? It's like the saying, birds of a feather flock together. But that's the problem. When we do that, we get stuck with the same issues that the people around us that we're struggling with. Amen? We need people who are strong in the areas that we are weak in. Right? We need people. We need to get around people who got out of what we're trying to get out of. Amen? We need to get the right people to get God's blessing in your life. Last one. An atmosphere that's filled with the right focus. I've got to say, this is so important. 1 Kings chapter 17 is the story of a widow in Zarephath. Elijah, the prophet, is coming into this place called Zarephath. It's a time of famine. And this widow's focus was literally on herself. And her attitude was, eat and die. 1 Kings chapter 17, 12 and 13, Elijah meets her and he says, hey, woman, give me something to eat. Give me some bread. Here's what she says. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat and may die. So, is that our focus? Is that your focus? Just eat and die? You know, I'm just waiting for the end to come? No, our focus should be our kingdom purpose. What's our kingdom purpose? To see the needs of others and to help others. Amen? And to be kind to others. Let the love flow beyond the walls. Because it opens up, it creates a bridge to the lost, and the lost will come to Christ. Amen? It's God's kindness that leads people to repentance. How is God kind to people? Through you and I. Amen? It's the way we see other people's needs outside the walls, inside the walls for sure. We take care of people in the church, but we're also to be concerned about others beyond the walls. Amen? That's our kingdom focus, even though we have needs in our life. So Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. Just do what you want to do. Do that. But he says, but first, make a small loaf of bread from me, from what you have, and bring it to me. Then make something for yourself and your son. Verse 14. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the Lord sends rain on the land. What's he saying? He said, if you take care of others, God will take care of you. And that's so true. God spoke to me and I was a businessman. And he said, listen, all those people that you're working with, I want to reach them. I want to see their souls saved. Take the time to reach out to them. And he said, I remember, he says, if you take care of my business, I will take care of your business. Man, I could not. The more I cared for other people, reached out to people, more success. I couldn't contain the success. Everything I did turned to gold. It was so easy. It's a powerful principle that if you're a believer, you don't just care about yourself. You care about humanity. You care about what's happening out there to others. Your focus, our focus and our vision at City Light Church is beyond the walls. It must be outward to live in this constant awareness that we are to be the salt and the light and the witness and give the message to the world so that they might come to Christ. Amen? I've given you six atmospheres in your life, in your home, in our church that God draw God's favor. So let's fill them up with praise and gratitude, with the presence of Holy Spirit, with the truth of God's word constantly flowing into us, but being with the right people, with an expectation and a faith for God to do more in our life with the right focus. So what's the atmosphere of your life? If you want to get your life right, then you need to get your atmosphere right. Amen? All week long. The Bible says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's your power source. It's to get into the Word of God, to see what God is saying about who you are, as you're an overcomer, to get God's Word into you, to get with the right people, to get right with the right focus in your life. and then see what God will do. Amen? Just leave the rest up to God. Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the challenge, Lord. You've called us to be builders, and you've given us the ability to control, to set, and to create right atmospheres in our life that bring blessing, not just us, but to our families, to our church, and to the people around you. Thank you, Father. I want you to see, we're just going to bow our heads, close our eyes. I want to speak to someone here. Maybe you're here, and you've never really, truly given your heart to Jesus Christ. You've never given up your old life. Therefore, you haven't received his new life, which is salvation, eternal life, the greatest gift that God can ever give you. And it's an abundant life, a life with meaning and purpose in the presence of God. Right here and now, if you've never done that before, you can come to Jesus here today. Or maybe you're someone here, you've kind of just set aside the plans of God and you've kind of walked away from God. And you're here because God is calling you back and you need to rededicate your life back to God. So, you may be someone that's going to receive Christ, going to ask him to come into your life for the very first time, or maybe you're rededicating your life. Either one of them, pray these words after me. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross and you shed your blood to pay for my sins. Please forgive me of all my sins today. And Lord Jesus, Father God, I invite you into my heart by your Spirit to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I ask, Jesus' name I pray. Amen.